Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 25. This is our silver jubilee.
I was going to say golden, silver.
Golden is 50, isn't it? Am I wrong? I don't know.
You're probably right.
Oh. Well, anyway, 25 is huge.
Congratulations.
Congratulations back at you and to our listeners for hanging in there, especially our large international contingent. So we've been talking a little off mic about some stuff that's been happening. So we're going to jump right in. I'm going to give you the mic first. Maybe you can talk a little about a special delivery you got this week.
I was corresponding with a gentleman named James Kelly from Finhorn. Finhorn is a spiritual community in the very top part of Scotland where people first started growing with nature spirits and devas, which I'm very interested in.
They can grow things in the northern part of Scotland. It's pretty cold up there.
Because they were growing in cooperation with nature.
I see. And we always grow in cooperation with nature.
No, we don't. Okay. We have genetically modified pesticides. Anything that ends inside is basically death.
Okay. Good to know.
So herbicide, you know, fungicide, there's all kinds of sides. Anyways, growing in cooperation with nature, he reached out to me because of the course. And wow. I found out he created this game called Miracle Choice. It's for 1 to 10 players, 16 and up. It's beautiful design.
It's a board game like you would see, I don't know, from Hasbro or...
Game of Life.
Game of Life.
That's what I was thinking.
I loved Game of Life when I was a kid.
A board game based on A Course in Miracles. It's not quite available in the U.S. yet, but perhaps next year at the Course in Miracles convention in Las Vegas.
But you can order it like you did.
Yeah, I ordered it through his website, which I believe is just miraclechoice.com. Or you could find him on Facebook, James Kelly. But it seems like a game that would take some time. We were discussing maybe in a study group might be a good way to learn the game.
Yeah, we opened it up and I was really impressed by the thought that went into it. It's really well done and very professional, and it looks like something that we could kind of sink our teeth into if we get into a situation where we have four players and we can learn a lot more about the inner workings of this game once we get our hands in it.
Yeah, we could have a game night, perhaps.
It's a game night with Course in Miracles.
Yeah, there's different symbols, and there's a dice, and there's different cards. There's miracle cards, choice cards, real world cards.
I love seeing creativity like this, kind of creativity expressed.
Yeah.
Into something that's like a learning tool.
Group sharing cards. There's a completion at the end, and there's little prayers or invocations you can say too in the beginning of your turn.
So, and I think you had mentioned that you had a conversation with him about possibly introducing this at the course conference in Vegas next year. That would be lovely.
It would be fun to have a kickoff party.
Like a little game night at the course conference.
Yes.
And when is this?
Game day.
Is it like April of next year or something? Do you know?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact dates, but they're having pre-enrollment where it's a super discount. I think it was $3.99.
Mm-hmm.
So the different people who speak are kind of mini promoters. And if you sign up through them, you get this discount. And then if you and then it helps them know how many people. It's kind of like pay to play in rock and roll at the Roxy or the Whiskey a Go-Go.
Wow.
You have to like
what is
get
this, 1980s
people.
Again?
It kind of is. It's like spiritual pay to play.
Yeah.
But, you know, helps make the world go round. In fact, I was thinking of Alex Marchand, and he was saying that if he could just get 10,000 people that are fans of his books, he could make a living doing what he loves.
Absolutely.
Comic books.
Well, maybe we can help him out. What can we do to assist Alex Marchand?
I would say buy his books.
Buy his book.
Which you can get on Amazon.
Well, he's got three or four books, right?
Four or five.
I've loved all of them.
And take them to your comic book store. See if they'd want to sell them. Or tell your friends.
It's in a graphic novel format. And because of his artistry and his ability to transform and translate kind of higher level course concepts into one piece of art for each cell, blows me away. It still does. I mean, I really do think this kid is a genius walking on earth.
The universe is a dream. Secrets of the existence revealed. That was very hard to read.
So that was his first that we knew about in the course. So this is really, is this the one that's sort of linked to Disappearance of the Universe?
Yeah, I would say it's an introduction to DU and The Course in Miracles.
Okay.
It's a great starter book for
people. Absolutely.
And it would be cool if he had a board game using his icons. Like, James and him didn't connect or something. Or maybe they can create a different board game.
Exactly, moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be nice when we went to a course conference in Irvine in August. we didn't see his books there, and it would be great to have seen that.
We didn't see a lot of our favorite authors there.
We saw a bunch of people we'd never known about before. Their books were there. There were a lot of them. You know, they weren't kind of the ones that we were looking at. I'm sure they were all lovely.
Yes.
I know. It's just, at least for me, I'm very particular about the information transport, the medium in which this information comes to me. It really depends on what it is that I'm more aligned with, whether I'm going to take in the information. There have been a couple course books that I downloaded onto my iPad. It just didn't work for me. Nothing against those authors. It's just, for whatever reason, the narrative, the story, the way it was presented didn't quite work. But Alex, Giddy Up Mikey, and certainly Gary, mm-hmm. and Busting Loose from the Money Game, mm-hmm. those worked for me.
And Billy Fingers.
And Afterlife of Billy Fingers still remains like a mind-blowing book.
I've been listening to the audio of it mm-hmm. over and over in the car. I really love it.
I've said this before, it is truly painting with words to me.
They were talking about the pearl, which I'm pretty sure is in Alex's comic book. Something mm-hmm. about an oyster with a pearl. To be a pearl maker, your oyster needs a good strong shell to protect you from the 100 million irritants in your environment. And I think of all the little things, whether it's driving over and someone going slow that's holding everyone up. I mean, there's constant irritants in our life. They spin me off and they keep me separated.
Yeah. Well, my ego is the biggest irritant, I think. It's probably everyone's biggest irritant. But for me, it's just a matter of slowly, ever so slowly, marginalizing it and just saying, okay, you need to go to the back of the line because you're not that important to me anymore. And so every day, it's like these small steps forward. But I got to say, and I may have mentioned this in the last podcast, that in a way, I feel like I'm becoming more apathetic or disenfranchised, detached mm-hmm. from things. And I don't know if that's the right way to go. Like, I feel like I'm not really emotionally present because it's easier for me to get the ego to shut up by just being like, okay, whatever. I took the stance last week at work that pushing back anything, resistance is futile. Just do it, you know? If somebody's asking me to do something I really don't want to do and my ego gets all riled up about it, it's just do it. Why are you wasting time? In any work day, we basically have 40 hours that we're there and we get a paycheck. So if somebody asks us to do something that we don't necessarily want to do, just do it. Just do it and get it over with. Instead of playing the game of, oh no, how dare they ask me that?
Pain and suffering.
But we were saying it would just be nice when we get to the point where if we can jump the hurdle of our current irritants in our pearl, for me it's definitely a work environment, that I feel like then I can start to breathe. Like once I get past that, I feel like I'm on my way. This just feels like one of those mountains I keep climbing slowly, slowly to get to the top so I can get back down the other side again.
I feel like those irritants, those grains of sand, that's just always going to be there.
It's a really great analogy, isn't it? The whole pearl and the shell.
Yeah, like the mouth opens to the ocean of life. The irritants kind of come in and then the clam closes and spits them all out. Maybe one sticks in there and kind of irritates us, but that's what becomes the pearl. And I think of all of our lifetimes as being these grains of sand that are making our spiritual spot in heaven through right. the pearl.
It'll just be interesting as time marches forward. The difference that we start exhibiting, I mean, it's been our 25th podcast now, and I think I can honestly say that we've changed quite a bit mm-hmm. in 25 of these. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what we're like mm-hmm. in 25 more.
You know, my sister Lorene gave me that sign, positivity. It's still in the same place. I see it all the time. And we were talking earlier about the conversations and how collapsing time and shutting down the conversation, not letting the ego take us crazy down that spiral loop. I'm just thinking about the words and the conversations. And maybe we should talk more about that. Like,
so we also were talking about Busting Loose from Money Game. And essentially, in my opinion, this book is sort of like the Course, only it takes the Jesus part out of it. It's more a lay version of the Course in Miracles. But one of the concepts is, you know, we have this field, this universal field. And in that, we exist in these holograms and we can create the holograms. So if I create a situation where I have a cat and I keep focusing on a situation where I have a cat in my hologram, I have a cat. Same thing if I keep focusing on I have a boss who I don't like. Oh my gosh, this boss is being really mean to me. This boss is abusing me. And I keep focusing on it. All I'm doing is keep continually creating it into my hologram. And so the idea is just move and focus on something else. Shut down that hologram. Just shut it down because you're not feeding it anymore. Everything in your world and the external kind of experience is what you're creating in your mind anyway. Mm-hmm. So if we know that, then just get rid of the stuff you don't like. Wow, that sounds easy. And I love the concept of it. I think it's just a matter of playing with it a little more, much like your board game. This is a big game. In fact, Breaking Loose from the Money Game talks about this being the human game. We are playing the human game.
I like their Hollywood analogies of the script and the hero and the villain and the characters. And
It's like we keep playing this out every day. We are completely in control of what's going on, which is exactly what The Course in Miracles talks about. If we're the ones that are creating it, why do we continue to create it? I think a lot of it is we are going back to kind of our Atlantic University background. And Gurdjieff talked about, you know, we're all sleepwalking through life. And when you kind of put everything on autopilot, then it's just the behavior patterns that are entrained in you, they just kind of take over. So it's very easy to kind of like sit back and have my ego say, oh yeah, that person, she's really mean to you over and over again, until I have to step in and go, stop, you need to stop it. In order to do that, it takes a lot of energy and it takes focus. And sometimes in the human game, we're just kind of over it. And it's a lot easier for someone else to be on autopilot.
So what's the step that one takes? I mean, for me, it's becoming aware and turning it over to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So you were giving me that advice that, you know, I feel like I'm going to a certain part, but then I'm not turning it over to the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to try that this week and I'll report back and see how well I did, because I haven't really been doing that very much. I'll do an occasion, but it's not a practice. So it'll be interesting this week if I really focus on, I get to the point where I can not be too attached, don't resist, and then give it up to the Holy Spirit. We'll see what happens.
The ego keeps us here in the body with its eyes, but it's not real. So if we turn the illusion over, then it's like it's not ours anymore. We're just giving it back to the Holy Spirit, who can, through the grace, kind of collapse it or transform it so it doesn't become an irritant of sand anymore.
I think you're onto something. I really like this idea.
And we've polished our pearl from it.
Polished our pearl, yeah.
Like, we have a pearl as the outcome because we no longer need this irritant.
Well, speaking of pearls, let's talk about moms. Today's Mother's Day.
Yay for
Mother's Day in the United States. I'm not sure where it is around the world, but at least for us here. And we were talking about being mothers and having children and being married. You and I did not go down that path. We haven't gone down that path. I think it's safe to say that we probably won't be having children.
No.
But we may get married. I don't know. But I was, you know, kind of working through stuff in my own special relationship that I have going on right now. And it's very clear to me that I'm pretty good with not being married and not having children. I like the whole concept of Mother's Day and appreciating mothers. And I think we both love our mothers very much. My mom is in a different space now. She's no longer in third dimension, at least during my Janine lifetime, but I'm sure she's kind of walking the earth somewhere. The sacrifices that mothers have to make when they have a child, odds are they're married. Sometimes they aren't, but it's huge. It's a huge...
I think mothers are superheroes.
They really are superheroes. They truly are. And I was sharing with you earlier that when I was a child and even a teenager and a young adult, I was kind of a hot mess. And the more I think about what I put my mom through, or, you know, my father as well, I hope that they can forgive me. And I know that they do. And I hope that I can forgive myself. Ultimately, the amount of stuff that a mother has to go through when their children are young, and kids don't have the same kind of empathetic ability. So when they do stuff and say stuff that can be so hurtful to a parent, they aren't doing it on purpose, really. It's just they don't know any different. But I can only imagine that the many like cuts to one's soul and heart that mothers have to endure. For us, I'm going to speak for me here. I think that in the Janine lifetime, I knew coming in that wasn't my path, that I had more things to focus on. I'm not saying that having children would be a negative or lesser, but I just don't see that as being something that was necessary in the Janine lifetime.
It's a 24/7, I hate to say job, it's just, it is.
Right.
Mom is. In this dimension, it's mom is. They have to do everything.
But every time I came close to either getting married or possibly having a child, it never happened. It never worked out. And I'm talk about the ultimate gratitude. Thank you, whomever, whatever.
You and the Holy Spirit planned it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the plan is working. My plan's working. But it's funny, like when I was in my 20s and I was, you know, dating people and I was in love and I want to get married and have a big wedding, and that whole thing that you buy into, the fantasy of it, was so real for me. And all my friends are getting married and, you know, my parents, very Catholic, were like, what's wrong with you? You know, why? And I never really felt like there was something wrong with me. It's like it didn't really connect. So now at my age, I've never been married and people kind of don't know what to do with that. They automatically assume I must be lesbian or something. I don't know. Clearly, I'm broken in some way because I'm not following the path.
Right. And something's wrong with us.
Yeah. And then I look at our contemporaries and I see them as broken sometimes.
Because they are married.
They're sad.
With the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like this kind of thing that we've had the freedom to explore the Course in Miracles and stuff like that, it's been a lot easier for us not having kind of that overhead.
I agree 1,000%. I started babysitting at a very young age, like fifth grade. Mm. Who would ever leave their children with a fifth grader? I don't know.
It's but pretty bizarre.
Every weekend I babysat. That's how I made money for my clothes and my shoes and my fun. But that was a great way of knowing I didn't want to take that on either. Yeah. So I'm grateful for that.
I also don't think I'd be a very good mother. I just don't.
I think I would be a great mother, but I don't see how I could be a mother and work. I mean, really, it's just, well, that's why I say they're superheroes.
They really are.
Because most mothers work. So to work and take care of the house and the husband and the kids, it's just too much.
Not having your own time and your own freedom to do what you need to do, because basically your life is pretty much scheduled by those around you. And also when I drive home from work, I think, oh my gosh, what am I going to eat tonight? But if I had children, I would have already had to have that planned. I'd have to go home and immediately make it. Right now, I come home from work, I get whatever to eat, and then I sit here and I can put on my big old fat pants that make me really happy and comfortable and watch TV and relax. I think in my current work situation, if I had an unfortunate experience during the day and then had to go home and not have the ability to decompress, wow, that would be a tough life. I think
it's a gift that we have this
absolute
time.
Gift.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, these things that I love my father dearly, but he really believes that a woman is only fulfilled if they're married and have children. So what he thinks as a failure in me, I think it's probably my biggest accomplishment. It's funny how you can see things through different eyes.
It's going from the ego's point of view to the Holy Spirit's point of view.
Right.
I was thinking of the ocean when you were talking and the seaweed and it just moving with the currents and how I feel because I have ownership of my time, I can just go with the flow. And I really appreciate that.
I do believe in my other concurrent lifetimes because time does not exist, right? So everything's happening at once. That I have had many children and I have many children. I've been married and whatever.
Oh, of course.
I never really felt like it was missing in my life. Whereas I know that there are some people that just want a child so badly. Oh, if only I could have a child. It's like, ugh. Well, you know, I leave my poor cat alone for a couple days at a time. She's got food. She's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably couldn't be able to do that with a child.
I was thinking about the human design this week and how fear, you know, is the opposite of love, and how as soon as we separated from God, we became at war with God, and how survival, we have to work in order to survive. I mean, all this stuff and being a mom on top of it is like insane. That's why I think they're superheroes. But I just don't like the design of how it is. You know, everything's fine, but I feel like I'd be much happier if I could have true ownership of my time. But because money, you have to pay the rent, you have to pay the car insurance, the food. Like, I just don't like the design. And I feel like that design sometimes makes me get depressed.
Let's talk about money for a second, because it's been a bit of a focus for me. I have been on this kick where I wanted to be completely debt-free, like 100% debt-free. And I thought, well, why don't I start really monitoring kind of on a daily basis? It's starting to get obsessive, actually, my credit rating. Because if I'm going to be debt-free, I'm just curious. That would mean that I would have this really good credit rating. But I also learned that it's a bit of a scam anyway, because I'm almost debt-free and my credit doesn't really change. Like 1 point here or there, which is bizarre. And I thought, well, why do I care? So the breaking loose from the money game talks about stop focusing on it. You keep focusing on it, you're just going to get the same thing. And I thought, you're exactly right. Like, what do I care? But one of the aspects that we experience is we focus on not having enough. I don't have enough money. Right. I don't have enough money in my 401k. I don't think I can retire, even though we also know that none of this exists. Mm-hmm. It's that, I've talked about this before, it's that weird dance we have to dance between the real quote-unquote world and the real world, which has nothing to do with any of this ridiculousness. But we still have to exist in the soup. mm-hmm. of in this whacked out dream, somebody's still going to want money for a mortgage or rent. We still have to pay car insurance and all that kind of stuff. So we still have to exist within the dream, even though the dream doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre. Until we can start affecting our dream from outside time and space, which is kind of like the Money Book is discussing. And mm-hmm. Gary talks about it a little in Disappearance of the Universe, but not as extensive, I don't think.
Yeah, I feel like the course isn't really about trying to drop things into our hologram.
Yeah,
like, to make
that's
our life
not it.
Better.
Correct.
It's more scripted, and we're just going to try and view it from the point of view of the Holy Spirit and just keep forgiving all the irritants that come up.
Another really great point, because busting loose from the money game makes the assumption that you can make changes.
Yeah.
And although Disappearance of the Universe talked a little about how it's all scripted, but there's some play in there. Alex Marchand talked about that play a little.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like trying to figure out how much play we have in changing the script.
I think that yeah, they talked about the DVD endings and the different chapters. So if we keep giving things up to the Holy Spirit, then of course the Holy Spirit wants things to be joyful and easy and loving and abundant and all the great words we could describe life. So it does naturally bring whatever we need, whatever is in that script for us to learn. But if we didn't, I think, give it up to the Holy Spirit, then we would just be getting more of the depression or
right.
the conversation that we keep thinking.
Yeah, we were talking about depression because you had a good friend who was going through it. Depression is one of those insidious kind of things, because
I feel like we all have depression.
It's really locking ourselves in a jail of our own making.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we just locked ourselves in with our own key and we're staring at the key. We can get ourselves mm-hmm. out, but yet we choose not to.
And I feel like the hamster wheel of life, that design, that human design of the suffering that's always in the background and having to survive and having to show up and be on for 12 hours a day in my workspace, that's an irritant and I don't like it. And yeah. it does sometimes bring me down, even though I do like what I do. It takes up the time that I would rather be doing other things.
You personality wise are way more extroverted than I am. And you're kind of in a more extroverted role anyway, especially in some of this stuff that you're doing currently. Like, you do have to be on a lot. So I can see how you would be exhausted at the end of the day. You had talked previously about kind of slowing down a little. How's that going for you?
I feel it has trimmed down a little bit. Like, I am getting some nights at home. I went to bed at 9:30 on Friday night.
Oh, good for you.
I'm trying to get my sleep, which definitely helps. I've been putting in a garden for the last month or so, but it finally hopped to the point where we got the rototiller, we dug into the ground, we got all the soil amendments. So actually this afternoon I'm going to go plant the garden. So I'm super excited.
Are you going to plant the entire garden?
Not every inch, because I do want to have things come in succession.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the big stuff, all the tomatoes need to get into the ground, all the melons, and yeah, there's some starts I have.
See, that's the part of the human condition I think is really awesome. It's being able to like manipulate the environment to grow things that you can consume. See, that's a positive instead of manipulating the environment to the negative.
Yeah, so noticing our thoughts and our words, like Landmark would always say, our words create our world. You know, be careful what you're thinking. And even the Abe Hicks stuff. Like, I think a lot of traditions will think or will say, be careful what you think. The Course is saying that, or
you know,
the Money Book
week,
or whatever, you know?
Yeah, last week I was on, I think it was a Foundation Course in Miracles, the one down in Temecula's website.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading all the tributes to Ken Wapnick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so impressed. It just seemed like he truly did exhibit the Course at all moments in time. And I thought, wow, I wish we could have met him. We talked about this before. I was still kind of heartened by the idea that you can be that way even in the third dimension.
I think that's what comes from the practice of atoning. And that's the part that sometimes I don't get to fit in when I'm having a busy day.
Mm.
I'll fall asleep, for one thing, while
yeah,
I'm meditating.
Me too.
But sometimes I just need to decompress, and I don't know. It's just like, I got to get food. I need to take the trash out. I need to take a shower. And by like the time I get everything done, I can read my lesson.
Me too. It's like we are.
But something's...
We're very agenda-driven.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get this stuff and that done, this to-do lists. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I fall back on that when I'm a little more out of control in my life.
Yeah.
That I have to, you know, regulate myself. And I get into moods where I become extremely prolific in what I'm doing. And right now I'm in that state. I definitely have a sine wave where, you know, I go through these periods where I'm very, very kind of self-motivated. And then I'll go into my shell and not do anything. And I'm definitely kind of like in the up part of the sine wave right now.
Highs and lows.
Highs and lows.
Just like every month, or sound waves, or
yeah. I was listening. Circadian rhythms, you name it.
Yeah. The music in the book of the Billy Fingers, mm-hmm. they talk a lot about the rhythms.
This is the Mahler.
It's Sibelius.
Oh, Sibelius, yes.
Swan of Toulon, I think is what it was. I was listening to it in the car. Tuonela. The Swan of Tuonela was a Finnish legend shared by the white swan who swims in the darkness in between the two worlds.
I should download that. I didn't download it.
There's some parts in there that are very familiar that I've heard in other movie scores or something.
Oh, interesting.
So I think they might have lifted a part of it. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps he's riffed on it in different musical pieces, because sometimes they'll use certain riffs over and over in different
right.
songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Just the circles and the waves and how everything kind of fits together.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. Okay, so I have this quote here from The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. It's on my 520 and it has to do with gardens. As the garden grows inside you, water the flowers and don't forget that the sand of the spiritual work is only the sand in the oyster that makes the pearl. It's the irritant that makes the pearl.
And a perfect way to wrap this one up. Thank you very much, Stephanie. This was our Silver Jubilee podcast of The Course of Course. We look forward to coming back next week.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye, everyone.